This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, November 10, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. An Ottawa County judge has ruled in favor of Park Township's zoning board banning short-term rentals in residential areas. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Ottawa County Circuit Court Judge John Halsing issued the opinion and order on Tuesday, authorizing Park Township officials to enforce its ban on short-term rentals in residential neighborhoods. In a statement, Township Supervisor Steve Spellhoff said, quote, "We are grateful for the court's continued affirmation of the Township Board's position over the past several years, which is that short-term rentals have not been permitted in residentially zoned neighborhoods since at least 1974, end quote. Katie Johnson, attorney and board member of nonprofit group Park Township Neighbors, representing STR owners, says they're disappointed by the judge's ruling. They claim statements made in various forms by township officials over the years never expressly forbid STRs.
And it's just disappointing in general that the law doesn't hold, you know, municipalities accountable for repeated statements over a course of like 50 plus years.
Judge Halsing stated that prior erroneous statements by zoning administration are not legally binding, but did say that for the past 50 years, the township did not enforce its own ordinance. Johnson says Park Township Neighbors may file more lawsuits in the future. I'm David Limbaugh.
Owners of Grand Rapids professional men's soccer team have hired a leader for the club, a veteran league player with a track record of successfully launching new franchises. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
It's with a great pride that I'm here today to introduce to you the first president of AC Grand Rapids, Darius Barnes.
ACGR's majority owner, chairman, and CEO, David Van Andel, introduced Barnes at a youth soccer tournament in Byron Center, noting Barnes shares the values and vision of the team leadership.
He loves the sport, obviously, but he also understands that the team and the sport need to be integrated very well into the community and that he will be part of that community.
Barnes played 8 seasons with the New England Revolution, worked for the league in marketing, then launched Charlotte, North Carolina's professional team in 2022. Barnes expressed his excitement at helping make the club a civic asset for the city, saying he knows what the sport can do for a community.
Being a community connector, bringing people together, giving young players something to aspire to be.
Grand Rapids MLS Next Pro team is set to begin play in 2027 at the new Amway Stadium, currently under construction. I'm Dee Morrison.
As the weather starts to change and temperatures drop, Mel Trotter Ministries has launched its annual clothing drive. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more on Code Blue.
Code Blue is Mel Trotter Ministries' annual clothing drive that aims to provide winter outerwear to children and adults who are unhoused in the West Michigan community. Mel Trotter teams up every year with community partners to place blue barrels in local businesses and other public locations. Their goal? To gather new and gently used winter clothing for those who are homeless. Officials say Code Blue hopes to pull in essential and high-demand items like hand warmers, winter coats, hats, mittens, gloves, boots, socks, and more. Chris Belusky, CEO of Mel Trotter Ministries, says, quote, "The winter season is approaching, and with it comes the cold reality that many people in our community are in need of assistance," adding, "This year, with rising costs and a shortage of affordable housing, the need for winter clothing for people who are homeless is greater than ever," end quote. The public can drop off items at the Mel Trotter Shelter at 225 Commerce Avenue Southwest in Grand Rapids or at Blue Barrel locations placed throughout the community. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Ottawa County Parks and Recreation continue treating parts of the county for the Hemlock Woody Adelgid. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The Hemlock Woolly Adelgid, or HWA, is a sesame seed-sized invasive insect from Asia that's been threatening eastern hemlock in Ottawa County parks for almost 10 years. The trees grow along the shore of Lake Michigan, stabilizing dune systems. Staff, volunteers, and park visitors have continued detecting and reporting populations of HWA throughout the park system. If left untreated, HWA can kill a hemlock in about 4 to 7 years. Ottawa County Parks and Recreation staff have been treating affected trees with insecticide injections, which protects hemlocks for about 4 to 6 years. Treatment areas have included Rosie Mound Natural Area, with 96% of nearly 2,000 hemlocks treated, Hemlock Crossing, with 89% of nearly 180 hemlocks treated, and Stearns Creek, with 51 trees treated, and more scheduled for tagging next season. The infested area has been expanding yearly, now reaching as far north as Leelanau County. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin talks with the Urban Core Collective about rising electricity costs, but first, news from around the state. Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist says it's going to feel like road construction in Michigan is never finished. Gilchrist was in Flint on Friday to celebrate the end of a $41 million rebuild of the 475 loop around the city. The work was part of a five-year bond-funded road construction program. Gilchrist says the new road funding plan in Michigan will spend billions each year, not only on highways, but also local roads.
The roads that people are driving every day to go to the grocery store, to pick their kids up from daycare, to drop their kids off at football practice. These roads that people use and that have been breaking their cars for every year since I've been alive.
Gilchrist says it will take many years to make up for decades of underinvestment in Michigan's roads. Michigan State University researchers are building an outdoor laboratory to see if solar panels can improve crop production for farmers. Anthony Kendall is an assistant professor of earth and environmental sciences at MSU. He says the project involves an interdisciplinary team of researchers so they can get a variety of perspectives.
There's a real asymmetry of solar installation information that exists right now, and we hope by doing open science with a lot of community feedback to really just provide better information to everyone.
He says they'll also use the project to teach farmers how to use solar panels in underproducing areas of farm fields. The project is funded by a $3.6 million grant from the National Science Foundation. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Michigan families could soon pay for more electricity as the federal government moves to extend the life of aging coal plants once slated for closure. WGVU's Shelley Irwin talked to the lead strategist for the climate justice team at the Urban Core Collective, Sergio Sierra Reyes, about how citizens can protect themselves from future rate hikes.
We keep the conversation local, but we know it affects all of Michigan. Sergio Sierra Reyes on the line, lead strategist, climate justice team, Urban Core Collective, your day job. Let's talk to you, Sergio, about an opportunity to discuss how Michigan families, can make this happen. Soon paying more for electricity at the federal government, moving to extend the life of aging coal plants once slated for closure. So what impact could these new federal orders have on energy bills? Well, for us, Sergio, good morning.
Good morning, Shelley. Thank you for having me on.
Glad you're here. Remind me of the good work of Urban Core Collective.
Yes, the Urban Core Collective does organizing to strengthen democracy, traditional, door knocking, getting people out to vote. We have a leadership program, transformational leadership program. We also do education reform. And what I lead is our climate justice team.
And here's the headline we are to discuss. Michigan families are warned of higher energy bills as coal plants stay open. What's happening in layman's terms?
Well, essentially, a coal plant that we all worked really hard to close, the Campbell Coal Plant, which burns, coal and generates, it's the dirtiest form of energy, was closed by Consumers Energy. It was a big win for community, but the federal government ordered for it to reopen, and this has caused a significant cost to the company, which is now going to be passed on to the consumer. In fact, during the first 5 weeks that this coal plant was open, it's anticipated that it was costing $29 million. And then most recently, as of this Monday, actually, heard more from experts that are talking about $615,000 per day, or for the last 130 days, $800 million. And this was now going to be passed on to the consumer. Of course, Consumers Energy will then pass on. This will be appear in people's bill this coming year.
Which does need me to reinforce the next question. What impact could these new federal orders have on energy bills for Michigan families?
People's bills are going to go up. They're going to go up not only because of these coal plants that are remaining open, but also because, Consumers Energy asks for more money each year. So if you pair these two together, people are going to get hit hard on next year's bill. In fact, just last year, Consumers Energy got $157.5 million increase from the Michigan Public Service Commission. And a few months later in June, they asked for the most they've ever asked for $436 million rate increase. And this is not good for families who are already struggling. You know, SNAP benefits are in danger, and people are struggling. You know, you hear in the news about people, you know, going to food pantries. This is not going to help.
Thank you for that reality check. Why is it the J.H. Campbell coal plant still running past its scheduled retirement? Remind me again.
Well, the Department of Energy put out a federal mandate for it to be reopened so that it could stay running. And this is, you know, people are talking about how, you know, the connection between, you know, coal and, you know, the coal lobby pushing for this to remain open. But just in general, you know, the federal government now wanting to push back winds towards switching to renewables that, you know, everyone wants that. We're all sensitive about the planet and climate change and the impacts of this, especially on, you know, working class families, people at the front lines, you know, and we're seeing, you know, what's happening in Jamaica and across the planet. But we also see that here with, you know, extreme weather events. This is all going to have an impact. And what's contributing is coal plants like this, like that was asked, what mandated to stay open.
Sergio Sierra Reyes with us on behalf of Urban Core Collective, lead strategist for the climate justice team, talking about your higher energy bills as coal plants stay open. How is the climate justice team helping communities respond to energy crisis rise here?
Well, we are intervening with the Michigan Public Service Commission. We are collecting people's stories. We are, with the help of the Abrams Environmental Law Clinic at the University of Chicago, we're intervening. We're fighting the utilities in court, and then with the help of Earth Justice, a national law firm that helps organizations like ours, we're contesting this mandate to keep these coal plants open. So we're also organizing people to show up to the Michigan Public Service Commission meetings to talk about how rising energy rates are impacting family budgets, real families, and also businesses who are struggling to keep their doors open and pay their employees. There's so many businesses that are closing. Every single bill has an impact on our budget, and it adds up. And so this is what we're doing as an organization.
And I trust you're looking to discuss this with our state and local leaders as well?
Yes. We encourage folks to reach out to their local elected officials, but also at the state level to tell their elected officials to encourage the commissioners. There's three governor-appointed commissioners that make these decisions. And at the federal level, you know, ask your Congress and people to push the Department of Energy to stop bypassing our local processes. This was a big win for us. Consumers Energy wanted this plant closed. The public wanted it closed, advocacy organizations wanted it closed, and now we have to pay so much money to keep it open. And this is not what people want.
Yes, we don't want our bills to be higher. Tell me one more time how to find out best information to continue the conversation, Sergio.
You can follow us on social media. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We are on LinkedIn. You can also go to our website, UrbanCoreCollective.org.
Thank you for your time and your passion for this topic. Take care.
Thank you, Shelley.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, November 10, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.